Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. But it's not just my podcast, it's your podcast. I could list any listener in front of that, couldn't I, Gav?
You could, yeah.
And because it is your podcast, it's your show, you're part of our thang. You're part of the thang gang.
Yeah.
There's the Woodman, there's Suns, there's Big Si. There's all you out there.
There's no one else here.
Well, no, what if I left? There's every
that's
single one.
That's a full roll call. Yeah.
So that's Gav.
Yep.
Suns.
Yep.
Big Si. And whatever your name is out there.
Yeah.
And you, Johnny.
We're all one big family. And you as well, Johnny.
I knew I'd forgotten someone.
Yeah, and sometimes Vin helps.
Vin helps.
Oh, and Joe. And
Joe. Yeah.
And Ashley Carroll, actually.
Ashley Carroll's helped.
And Phil Chrysikos.
Phil Chrysikos.
I'm Phil Chrysikos.
I'm Phil Chrysikos.
This is my podcast. This week, Noel Gallagher joins us for an exclusive announcement. We meet the man responsible for bringing QI to our screens, John Lloyd, and I let everyone know once and for all that Nick Knowles is not my dad. Oh, and little Simon's here.
Oh, thank you.
So, I've forgotten about him.
Yeah. Radio X. On the line now, I hope we have Noel, who's going to make a massive announcement. Noel, are you there?
You're right. Good afternoon.
Can I just say, I was so disappointed you came back from the jungle that early.
Well, me too. I mean, you know, what can I say? The British public, what a bunch of...
I know, but can I just say, but still, a cracking body for a man of your age. And
You know, the hormone treatment's been doing me wonders. I mean, I recommend it to anybody. I mean, well, look at my hair.
You looked fantastic.
You might try a bit yourself, eh?
You look fantastic. And the highlights, still working after all this time. I wouldn't swap shop them with anyone.
Well, the thing is, I was missing the beard dye. So I had to get out really in the end, you know what I mean? I was about to turn into a 70-year-old man.
Wait a second. This isn't the Noel who's the house party swap shop deal or no deal hero. This is Noel Gallagher, I think, isn't it?
I think it is, Noel.
You know, and you suddenly realise that someone's coming back and I suddenly think he hasn't got that 70s accent.
They're so different as well, aren't they?
I know. Noel, I know you've got you've called me up because you've got a big announcement, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was just sitting there thinking, why am I going to tell this to? Oh, call Johnny Vaughan.
No, why have you? Why have you decided to reveal it on my show? Because normally you really stay away from me. No, you do. You
well,
do.
I've been I have been avoiding you like the plague, and rightly so. There was an incident in the 90s, Johnny. We won't go into it.
There was an incident, but I suddenly thought it was just because you know my show is very friendly to our kid.
Oh, was it really? Is it really? Well, it was nice talking to you anyway, so...
Okay, yeah. What is the big announcement, old friend?
I believe the announcement is that I and my band will be playing Heaton Park in Manchester in the summer. Is that right? Is that the one?
Yes. You haven't played there since 2009.
I haven't played there since we had a rather chaotic night there in 2009 with Oasis when Liam offered all the crowd their money back. Well, it was the first night of three nights. We've been looking forward to it for like the whole tour, and then we got there after the first song, the generators packed up, right? And so we had to go back off stage, and then we came back on, and then so we started up again, and then the generators went off again, so we had to troop back off stage again. And at this point, everybody's getting a bit irate.
Yeah.
And I said to one of the promoters, if we go back out there and that generator goes off again, the gig's finished because we're not doing it. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
And the promoter said, if it goes off again, right, we'll offer the crowd the money back. And I was thinking, well, steady on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, no, I said we weren't going back on again. This is very different to refund time.
I think Liam misheard it and said, right, the crowd are getting the money back. And before we'd even plugged in back in, he'd said, by the way, this is now a free gig. You can all have your money back.
Oh, my
God. And, of course, we fired off and the generator never went off. I was sitting there, standing there, glaring at him, thinking, oh, really? I mean, we all know that. But you have to be such an idiot.
I know, but if you were standing there glaring at him, he'd have thought, this is business as usual, right?
Well, indeed.
If you're standing there staring at him, looking like you loathed him, he's the most annoying pain in the ass currently in your life. He just thought, everything's going fine.
You're kind of describing every Christmas day from 1974 onwards.
Christmas is not Christmas without our kid, and you know it.
I loathe Christmas. I loathe it.
Yeah, because you haven't got... I hate it as well. I can't stand it. What do you hate about it?
Everything. Oh, everything. Mainly the adverts on telly. That's the one.
No, I just hate it because it's not what it was. And all the time I get that memory mixed with desire thing.
I don't know. I don't look into it that deeply. It's just a terrible time of year. It's cold and it's dark.
Did you ever have good Christmases? Do you ever like it? Ever?
Actually, I've had a good couple of Christmases the last few years, because we go away now, me, Sarah and the kids, we go away. And last Christmas, we went to some posh hotel somewhere, and Keith Richards was there, and ended up spending New Year's Eve with Keith Richards.
And you was hanging out with a cat like Keith.
So I've never met Keith Richards, right?
And he's a good lad.
He was there. Oh, he's amazing.
He's really good fun.
And I know some of his family. And he said, oh, come and meet your dad. And so he went up there. And oh, Keith, he's not. He turned around and he said, well, I've got one question for you. Was your singer a bigger than mine? And I said to him, I said to him, well, your singer wrote Jumpin' Jack Flash, so I'd say mine was a bigger. And he took a sip of his vodka and lime and went, what a.
Is that what he did?
That's amazing. Very funny.
That's amazing. Any other memories of Keith?
He was dressed like a pirate.
Yeah, he does look like a pirate.
He was carrying a cane.
Okay.
Was, you know, and okay. He was a top dude. Loved him.
Okay, listen, back to Heaton Park, because this is all my...
Oh, yeah.
My producer isn't worried about exclusive great rock and roll stories with Keith Richards. He's more concerned with who's supporting you at Heaton Park, and rightly so.
It's Doves, one of the great Manchester bands of all time.
Yeah. But they
is
haven't
that right? Have I got that right?
You've
I
mean, got that right.
You know something I don't? Pause there.
They haven't played together for nearly 9 years, and you've got them.
That's right.
How do you manage...
That's right, yeah.
How do you manage that?
Well, I would have thought they're skint by now. So,
is the correct answer?
It wasn't a very long conversation.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Okay, do you know what? Heaton Park tickets are going on sale. Tell us when. Do you know when? I can tell them if you want to.
You tell them. I have no idea.
Well, the good news is tickets are going on sale, and it's. I don't know if you've done this in honour of my cousin Pippa's birthday, but it's December the 7th, 10 a.m. on Friday. That's Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds at Heaton Park. Tickets go on sale this Friday, December the 7th at 10 a.m.
Brilliant. Well, do you tell Pips she can have a couple on me for a birthday present?
Okay. Can I have a couple on you? Can I have a couple? I'd love to. I've never been up to Heaton Park to watch a big band.
Oh, it's great. I went to the first time I went to Heaton Park was to see. Well, the only time I went before Oasis played there was in the late '70s or early '80s to see the Pope.
Did you?
Wow. Yeah. What
did he open with?
Well, he opened with Our Father Who Art in Heaven.
Oh man, I hate that.
That one.
I like it when they go straight in with Credo in Unum Deum.
I prefer his early stuff. Yeah,
they just hit the rhythm and you're in.
Yeah, you know? I'm not sure the PA was great. It was
okay,
bad.
Yeah, that's no, bad.
Bad. I'm not sure what.
But
he
did
played.
What did he wear? What was his stage wear like?
I think he was wearing some. You know when the big acts come and they're on stage.
Yeah.
And you think don't wear stuff from the merchandise stall. I think he was wearing stuff from the merchandise.
Wait a second. You're describing the Pope as a big act. Yeah, he is a big act. He's got a big international fan base. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Listen, he is the Paul McCartney of Christianity.
He is. He's the Macca.
He was pretty good. He did all the hits.
He did all the hits. Apart from the Pope and Oasis, who else do you think has really figured at Heaton Park that you've seen? That's it.
That's all I've ever seen. Yeah.
Okay. That's all you've ever seen. Okay. So, legendary Manchester band, the Doves, will be playing together for the first time in ages. Are you excited about seeing them?
Yeah. They've made some of my favourite records of recent times. The Doves album, Last Broadcast, is incredible. And we kind of know them, and they're City fans and all that. So it'll be a privilege and an honour to share the stage with them.
So that's the big announcement. Chris Moyles will give away the first pair of tickets on this Friday's breakfast show to Noel and the lads live at Heaton Park. As I say, those tickets go on sale this Friday, December the 7th at 10 a.m. There was, ladies and gentlemen, we just met Noel Gallagher.
Can I go now? Bye.
Yeah, can I go now? You finish?
This is Radio Johnny Vaughan.
Okay, I've got a grab bag of fun for you now.
Okay.
Here's my bit of misplaced pride. Are you ready?
Mm.
This is just as good as it gets. And it's terrible. I read this and I thought, yeah, have that, America. Can't take us on. You ready?
On.
English are fatter than ever before. Get it? I mean, it's terrible. I read that and thought, yeah.
No.
Yeah, get in with that.
Are we really beating the Americans?
We are, yeah. We're beating them out easy, Gav.
Wow.
Well, not quite. It hasn't got the stats, but we're fatter than ever before. So any way you cut it, Gav, it's a PB.
We're catching it.
It's a personal best. It's a personal best. Here's a mystery, yeah. Do you know what I've noticed? Is you get groups of quite big women. I was driving through North London the other day on my way out. Just way out, man. And I kept going past like those sort of cheap hotels and things. You go out of town.
Yeah.
You go past those sort of places where people come up shopping.
Yeah.
And I noticed that on fire escapes, why is it very unhealthy looking people also smoke together?
So you'll
get a group of quite big people.
Yeah.
I don't use the word fatter, like, because I'm not like the Times as offensive as that. But
I think it's to do with self-gratification, isn't it?
I just think they just figured it doesn't matter.
What does it matter?
Yeah. What does it matter now?
It might be that. You know? Just really zen about it.
What does it matter? Oh, we're overweight anyway.
Yeah.
Look at us. Look at the state of us.
Let's have a drink and
a
bag.
Yes, and a selfie with Vaughan.
Yeah.
In the case of this lot. But everywhere you go, you just look outside, you clock it. I'm just saying, I can't help the story. I've just noticed that you very rarely see kind of healthy-looking people smoking.
Not in gyms and things,
It's like that worry about your health goes all the way through like a stick of rock.
Yeah, you don't care about what you put in your body.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're surprised by that.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's extraordinary how you, as you drive through London and looking at people clustered on fire escapes and outside hotels, all those things, it really does ring true. You think, wow, it's amazing. They really are an unhealthy crowd. That really is quite an unhealthy little clique you got going there. And I bet you're all going drinking tonight as well. Binge drinking.
There's definitely a link between that and chefs who stand out the back of kitchens.
Chefs don't look healthy either.
All smoke, yep.
Yeah. And chefs also look like they've never seen sunlight.
Because they haven't.
They haven't.
They're standing
exactly
inside.
And during they're going on the way home, McDonald's.
That's right.
And they'll be smoking in the car on the way.
Yep.
Absolutely right. The English have never been fatter. With 4% of our adults now morbidly obese, and 9 out of 10 leading unhealthy lifestyles. Good on ya!
Makes you proud.
It does. Personal best, Gav. Personal best. Figures from the Health Survey for England show that levels of morbid obesity, that's a body mass index or BMI of 40 or above, are at the highest level. They surveyed 8,000 adults, 2,000 children. Apparently, that's where Britain is an emergent superpower. In the area of morbidly obese kids.
Right.
Apparently we lead the world.
Growth area.
Yeah, even in America, apparently, even they have like a window of health. No, building up the muscle.
Yeah.
And stuff. Obviously, muscle can't turn to fat, but that sort of athletic diet.
Yeah.
So you see in America, they've got those guys who are enormous, but you find that they were actually once a linebacker. And you see a photo, they look like a young Dolph Lundgren, you know, that sort of Swedish gene.
I know.
And now they're just going, Christ alive, I can't reconcile.
That's some different guy.
Massive brother.
Yeah.
Literally enormous. And you look at him in his yearbook and he was like, you know.
Really svelte.
Yeah.
Now he's all neck.
Clayton McDonald, linebacker. He's sort of there. Yeah, right. Anyway, these are the stats. Back in 93, only 1% were morbidly obese. So, well done. Well done out there. I'll see you on the fire escape.
Radio X.
I once went to Vegas and as we were queuing to go in, there was a family in front of me,
yeah,
about four along, and then there was me going back. This was just post 9/11.
Right.
And actually, male passengers travelling alone, which I was at the time, that definitely doesn't matter where you're from, that fits the criteria.
Yes.
So I can see why they searched me, no matter what my ethnicity.
Go on.
Which, of course, I'm quarter Puerto Rican. But how about this? Now they can fake it more.
Fake what?
Well, you all have to go through, even they can see that family from Newcastle probably aren't a terror risk.
Go on,
and they probably did pack their own bags because they didn't like the sort of gang that have staff.
Yes, go on.
You know, they're all in Newcastle United. So it's like, did you pack your own bags? No, the butler did it.
Yeah.
Like, we've got a team of staff like you now. Aye. Of course I packed Wuzorn Bagsley.
Wuzorn Bags.
Of course we packed Wuz Bagsley. Yeah. Anyway, airport security queues could be cut. They've got a new scanner that just checks passengers without them having to turn out their pockets and take off their belts and shoes.
Oh. Oh.
Now that...
That is progress.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. So let's just
It's the belt that always really annoys
me. Yes,
yes. The shoes that annoy
me. It's such a fiddly thing to deal with.
Look, these days I have found a boating shoe is your best friend here.
Oh, for slip-on and offableness.
Because also it means you're not packing a pair of shoes in your bags. You can wear them with a sock. Mm. Your boating shoe's a winner.
That's
no
clever,
laces.
Yeah.
It's
that's
a really clever, good one. Yeah. And always elastic top jeans.
I always wear my 18-hole DMs, and it's really annoying.
It must be chaos for you, Gav, with those 24-hole Dockers.
All four of my families are wearing 18-hole DMs. All four of us.
Imagine being behind the Templetons.
Oh my God! You've got about 50 holes between them.
She works for Dr. Martens. Had six pairs.
Cynthia's got some that look like waders.
It's like, could you hurry up? Sorry, we've got this hairy couple.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
We're still on the hunt for the world's greatest nickname. So far, we discovered the large friend who stalled his car several times, earning him the nickname Biggie Stalls.
That's wonderful.
It's genius. All I can ever imagine is just when the group of mates hits it. When you're playing that game of just all you could have.
Yeah, yeah.
And then someone goes, I got it. No, we're all saying Biggie Stalls, and that's it. And it just
it's
catches.
Over, yeah. It's
it doesn't
done.
Matter how much anyone thinks. That's it. It's done.
It's done. It's done.
It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done.
Yeah.
The man who lives with three cats and is a black belt in karate. He's called Mr. Meowgi.
Yes.
Genius. And the mate who never puts his hand in his pocket for anything, lovingly referred to as crime because crime doesn't pay. Oh! Brevity, ladies and gentlemen, is the soul of wit. Although, if you listen to Danny Wallace at the weekend, Steve told us that brevity is the soul of radio. And actually, it was such a good show. It was genius. Do tune in to Danny Wallace on Sundays. Just unwarranted plug. Keep them coming into 83936. That's your nicknames or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation. Otherwise, it's just a name, for God's sake.
Think on.
Sorry. Think on. Sure. Gav, what's Darren in Oldham said?
Darren Oldham in Oldham, and then in brackets, yes, I know. I've got a friend at work who has religiously worn the same jacket for about 6 years. Is this you writing in, pretending to be Darren?
No, it's not, no.
Okay. We've nicknamed him Dulux because he's only got one coat.
Nice. Is that what they call him, Dulux?
I feel like...
Sorry, Gav, I was still reeling from your slide.
I feel like Darren Oldham in Oldham needs a nickname.
I do. Darren Oldham in Oldham. Unless, of course, he is Lord Oldham.
Maybe.
That'd be great.
I love it when that happens.
He's just sign his name Oldham.
Oldham. Sunta, what have you got from Steve in Chalfont St. Peter?
Steve says, my friend Mark is always between jobs and often down on his luck. When we invite him out, he always says, I've got no money, or sorry, lads, I can't afford it. So we called him Barassic Mark.
Nice! It's mean.
That's really good.
Barassic Mark.
Barassic Mark.
Hello.
It's so Barassic again.
Hey!
Oh, mean. But funny.
Yeah, very good, yeah. Okay, this is from Jim in Stanley Bridge. Thank you very much, Jim. I used to work with a guy who claimed... That's just genius. Barassic Mark. Sorry. I used to work with a guy who claimed to have had hit singles in Spain. With his rapping and singing.
This is a bullshido and a
almost,
nickname,
almost. It? Yeah, it's just a hybrid. You're absolutely right, Gavin. Yeah. It's crazy. Oh, we could hit Pig Sight with a new hybrid item. He loves that. This was a blatant lie. He soon became known. You're not going to believe this, guys.
Go on.
You're not going to believe this, guys. Okay, key points here. He claims to have had hit singles in Spain with his rapping and singing. He became known as Coolio Iglesias. Whoops, I actually snorted. That's terrible.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Now, you'll know Tej loves a bit of the jungle, yeah?
Yeah.
TJ would rule any of those bush tucker trials. It wouldn't bother me.
You know, no, it's just protein,
I'm used
it?
To surviving off the land. I used to living off the land. I do it every summer. You know, I disappear off. You don't really know where I go. But I just live off the land. That's what I do. I survive. I'll eat anything.
Yeah.
I'll literally eat anything.
Yeah.
Protein. I don't mind. I don't even mind. Like lunch today, I had some what I call dirty protein.
Right.
I didn't mind it. Just some wings. Beer. wings, sports. Anyway, I watched it last night, but it was that moment when the people in the camp, the campmates, received letters from loved ones, yeah?
Yeah.
And lots of tears and all that. Yeah. Despite the fact they haven't seen their loved ones for like a week.
Yeah.
You know, and they're sort of acting like literally.
They haven't gone to war.
They're honestly writing to the Count of Monte Cristo, literally, when he's been away for years.
It has been some nine days since I have seen
him. Or it's going to sort of Hell Island or whatever that was yesterday you had in the Japanese prisoner of war camp. Yeah, right. Anyway, they read each other's letters out. And then I smelt a rat, Gav. I really did. Well, here's James McVeigh reading a letter. And you know, we're obsessed with Knowlesy. Moylesy's obsessed with Knowlesy. We're all obsessed with Knowlesy, right?
Yeah.
Listen to this, right?
Nick, from your son TJ.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Whoa, whoa!
Did you hear that?
TJ.
From your son TJ.
From your son TJ.
Nick Knowles is your dad?
Yes.
From your son TJ.
Here's some more.
Hi, Dad, TJ here. I want to take this opportunity to tell you how very proud I am of you, not only in terms of how well you're doing in camp, but most importantly, how proud I am that you're my dad.
I'm not Nick Knowles' son. This is subterfuge. I don't know why. Nick Knowles, I've looked it up. He's got four. He's a good Catholic man. He's got four kids.
Okay, you're getting pulled into this. What's going on?
Probably. Yeah. No, I did my research last night. Yeah. I couldn't find a kid called TJ. Apparently, he's got a muscle child.
Okay.
That's lurking around somewhere. He's called TJ.
Yeah.
But I'm not Nick Knowles' son, is all I'm going to say. I never thought I'd have to tell the nation that.
Yeah.
But here's Nick talking about what he brings to the camp, and you wonder if they're not in some way pandering to us.
If it's lifting massive amounts of weight, then I'm going to beat you on that too. But we all have different abilities and skills.
Daddy, if it's lifting...
It's getting silly now.
No, if it's lifting massive amounts of weight, then I'm going to beat you. Yeah.
Well, just the word lifting, John, is just... Yeah.
Knowlesy, choirs and DIY. Guys, there is something else. This is the last thing. I'm not saying this show is pandering to the 4-7 thing, but once again, listen to how James McVeigh reacted, after hearing his letter read out. You ready?
Knowing it's from her, really has helped me. Sure.
Whoa! Come on, guys!
This is just weird now.
It just gets weird.
My God.
Doesn't it? Come on.
Sure.
Come on, Suns.
Radio X.
Okay, Suns, you're a vegan, right?
Uh-huh. Well, I eat a plant-based diet the best I can.
Okay, well, I've got... Unfortunately, do you know what, Gav? I think you have to give me that back because I've ripped out the bit that's got the crucial bit on it. Because that bit I gave you for Tomorrow's Hero, because I do all the research for the show. I just try and make out everyone else does some work.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I said that I'd come up with a bit of wordplay, more fiendishly cunning than the Times today. Vegans use attack foul language.
Right, yes.
Right, yes.
Something to do with chicken.
Right, well, no, it's because stop bringing home the bacon was what the Times came up with. Oh. And the story is they want to make idioms vegan-friendly. So, harmful, bring home the bacon. What do they want? Bring home the bagels.
Right.
Is this April? It's not
okay.
April.
Okay, harmful, all your eggs in one basket.
Yep.
Helpful, all your berries in one bowl. Okay, the reason that doesn't work is because an egg is just a thing, all right? And it doesn't matter how you argue about it, they are, if you drop a berry, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But you drop an egg, that's not. So it's not analogous. Genius seeks analogy, it seeks parallel, and these aren't. So whoever's put these in is far from intelligent. Listen to this one. Open a can of worms.
But people don't eat worms.
And then there's no such can of worms anyway.
No.
I've never quite understood a can of worms.
No, I've never understood that either.
It sounds like an awful idea.
But I've opened this tin and it's got worms in it.
I know, but also they want now open Pandora's box. Again, it's not the same.
No, it's a different thing.
Pandora's box is a lovely story about hope, and that was all that was left.
Right.
Flog a dead horse.
It's not the
They say that's though. Harmful. What they'd like instead is don't feed a fed horse.
Okay, now that's just...
Come on, guys! Flogging a dead horse, the horse is...
That's much more expressive.
Yes,
yeah.
It's very expressive.
It is.
God, this is
fascism.
I think
there are better things that vegans could be doing with their time.
Yeah, I think so.
Harmful. Yeah, well,
in terms
of
educating about how we could potentially help the world be a better place.
I'm just...
Rather than worrying about old sayings.
It's making me mad, this Sunce.
I did like your pun, though. It was very good.
Hold your horses, Sunce.
Sorry.
What are you supposed to say?
Hold the phone.
Right.
That's not the same. I mean, hold your horses.
My phone's made of pork, though.
Yeah, it is. Mine, too. Yeah. I've got a bacon phone. Made of frozen bacon.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
This is the 4 till 7 thing, absolutely live on Radio X. We've got a guest now, Gav.
A real one?
Yeah, this is guest number 12 for us.
It is, wow.
We don't really like guests.
It's quite a moment.
In fact, four of those I can't remember. ladies and gentlemen, we've got one now who's the creator of QI, a founding producer of Not 9 O'Clock News, Spitting Image and Blackadder. Would you please welcome John Lloyd to the show? Hello, John.
Hi, John. Hey, hello, gentlemen.
How are you, John, broadly?
Broadly, very well, thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay, I've just been thumbing through your fantastic book, 2024 Facts to Stop You in Your Tracks, the QI book. Why did we decide to do this rather 80s thing?
Which?
Of bringing out one of these sort of fact
Oh, books. I see, yeah.
What, with the internet and everything?
Okay, this is the 17th QI book, believe it or not,
okay.
in 10 years or so, yeah. And it's the seventh in our fact series. So they're like four facts a page, like Japanese haiku. And
yes.
you can read them in a string because each fact is connected to the next. It's very unlike any trivia book you've ever made.
Within the page?
Yes.
They're connected within
yes,
the page.
Yes, so it's
right.
almost like a mad serpentine story. Each
yes.
fact connects one to the next, you know? On the set of Jaws, the shark was nicknamed Bruce after Steven Spielberg's lawyer.
You see, that does sound like a haiku. Definitely.
It does, yeah.
The Mary River Turtle... breathes through its genitals.
Yes. One of the moons of Uranus is called Margaret.
Your first one was stronger. I'd build to that.
Peggy, if you're a very seasoned
astronomer. Yeah.
yeah, just the moon, Peggy Moon.
If you're really familiar with the moons, yeah.
That's right. This one has really got it. Hang on.
Go on.
Scientists can't tell. Scientists can't tell what sex a person is by studying their brain alone. Now that's got that.
It's got the rhythm.
Yes. It's got a haiku.
I like
thing.
The way you joined up brain and alone there.
That was done.
Brain alone.
Gav, that was done, but they did. I know I had to fudge.
Sounds
it.
Like a chemical.
This is very haiku. This is very Basho.
Go on.
A frozen wood frog goes completely rigid. When you drop one, it goes clink.
You see, that's right in the zone. Isn't
I hate it?
It
when they do that.
Can I ask you, how is this researched? How are these wonderful? How are they found?
Well, there's a very simple rule at QI. Read everything, even the footnotes and the introduction, all the most boring things, particularly the things that look very unpromising, and only write down what you personally find interesting.
Yeah. I tell you what I find interesting about QI. It's the use of the word quite.
Yes.
Like if you've got, it was quite fantastic. How was the ballet? It was quite spellbinding.
Yeah.
But if you say it was quite interesting... For some reason, it doesn't function in the same way, and I don't know why.
It was quite good. Well, it's
yes.
like, it's very British, it's very modest. We always say, quite interesting,
yeah.
we make no higher claim.
Right. Okay?
It's a great disclaimer. We don't...
Yeah.
It's great. We
make no higher claim.
is there a Latin... Is that a Latin motto
yeah.
under the...
No, but if you show... Virgil got hold of that one. My God. We make no higher claim. The drama is not yet acted out. Yeah, right.
Also, QI is Japanese for... and Chinese for the life force. Chi.
Energy,
force.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Do you know what I only found out the other day from my son who studies Mandarin? In and I had no idea of this. I didn't realize that there's only one written Chinese form.
Yes, that's right.
And it doesn't matter what language you speak,
whichever dialect
you're always linked.
Yes, so Korean, Japanese, Chinese, they are, you can read the thing and understand it.
Yeah, but it's a completely different
sound.
It's a completely different language.
Wow.
So it's a bit like if the world had one sign language.
Yes.
If the world just had one sign language, but everyone, when they were breaking it down and explaining it, was using different words for it, but actually the symbols are...
Yeah,
does that work as a parallel?
Talking of sign language, the funniest thing I've seen all year...
this better be good, because we're finishing the part with this one. Go on, John.
No, it was at...
You got us where you want us.
Let
Bring
us live at Wilderness Festival, and I was doing the voice of God. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sir Ben Kingsley.
Right. And you better get the Sir Ben
and
in.
Sir Ben's son is also an actor, and he's very, very good. And he read out some letters from James Joyce to his then fiancée, Nora Barnacle.
Yeah.
And he was famously disgusting, this man. I mean, disgusting.
Well, he had very bad syphilis, and he could hardly see.
And it was absolutely explicit things about what he wanted to do with this woman.
Right. Yeah.
And Ben's, Sir Ben's son read out this stuff, and the signer had to interpret it to the audience. You've never seen anything so funny.
Was he improvising?
It was absolutely the funniest thing. The audience were completely hysterical.
I really want to see that.
That's fantastic, man. John, would you stick around for a bit?
I'd love to, John.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes.
John Lloyd. We've been looking at 2024 QI facts to stop you in your tracks. I like the way it's got that sort of little bit of a sort of crap rhyme at the end. Facts to stop you in your tracks.
Yeah.
No, it's just kind of chief at the end, and I think that's appropriate, having glanced through.
Thank you very much.
was that your idea?
Well, it's all a group enterprise, QI, really. But I tell you an interesting thing about this book. It's not really a book.
Right.
I bet you haven't read the intro to it, have you?
Of course I haven't.
Okay. In the intro, it explains it's not really a book, it's a portal. Okay, so four facts a page. If you go to the source finder, qi.com/2024, instead of four facts, you get four sources. So behind each fact, if you say, I don't believe this, or why is that?
There's further reading.
There's months and months and months of reading. So really, you can read the whole book in maybe 2 or 3 hours.
Okay.
But the reading behind it is like 6 months' worth.
Okay, John, enough of the hard sell.
Yeah.
You've got us where you want us.
$9.99, Faber and Faber.
Okay, enough of the hard sell. Can I make a suggestion? And you're going to say, Johnny, we've got it already. It's a massive seller, because that's the sort of person you are. But you, even if it isn't.
537 fat pages, packed with, crammed with information.
537 pages of facts.
Ample
like you
car
want them.
Parking.
With ample car parking. Gents casual slacks. Top designer brand name James.
Reactor light
80%
repeat.
80% APR, maybe.
Check press for details. Okay, John. At a cinema near you from Sunday. No, the line, Gavin, always is, in a world where facts are short, in a world, in a time, in a place. John, what's for you the fact of facts? If you were to pick out one to take with you to your deathbed.
It's very difficult to pick from all these things. There are so many.
It's such an incredible choice of facts.
Well, yeah, and they're all, I suppose, the things that I like are the things that are really, really mysterious. Let me think. Beetles have become 20% smaller over the last century.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Concrete
is stronger if carrots are added to it.
What?
Just discovered that.
I tell you my great concrete fact.
How?
It's something to do with a vegetable fibre that it makes it, you know.
Yeah, but how did they discover that?
Well, exactly. This is what these scientists doing.
A worker dropped his lunch.
What are they doing? This is a fabulous one. The Swiss Air Force is only available during business hours, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Oh, very good, sir.
That's a brilliant fact.
It's not a fact, Gav. It's a gag. Come on.
That's why you need the source find, you see, because people don't believe us.
Last question. What would you say is the secret of QI's success? Why has it rolled along for so long, John?
I would say it's two things. Firstly, that it's warm. There's no jeopardy. There's no nasties, no losing. And the second thing is that it doesn't patronise the audience. It treats the audience if they're equally intelligent as the people who make the programme, which, of course, they are.
And lastly, what would you do, do you think, to make people stop being sort of ashamed of intelligence and thinking it's rather vulgar?
I don't think they're ashamed of intelligence. I mean, I often say I was in my gap year, I didn't want to travel because my dad was in the Navy, and I was an Essex builder for a year. I started as a T-boy and worked my way up. And I can say, having been, you know, I'm as middle class as they come, but I was for a year, I was a long-haired, dirty shoes, you know, Essex builder.
Okay.
And I can say those people I work with, those chippies and brickies and all those plasterers, you know, all part-time firemen, all of them, they were some of the brightest people I ever met. And so I've kept that in mind as a producer over 40 years, that that's the people I'm talking to. Those blokes I used to go to the pub and drink 8 pints and drive home pissed in the minivan.
Yeah, having fought someone.
They were really, really brilliant, really funny people. And so it's not intelligence that people are ashamed of, because to be, you know, to rewire a meter or to fix a house, you've got to be very bright.
Yeah.
What they're a bit worried about is sort of intellectualism, you know, big ideas, long words, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what QI tries to do, It tries to strip everything down so it's simple, so that any 12-year-old can understand what we do.
Everyone loves a conversation with an interesting man.
And everyone loves a conversation and with an interesting fact, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely loves it. In which case, we're going to have many around this book. John Lloyd, thank you so much for coming down. You're one of the people whose work we've enjoyed immensely over the years, haven't we, Gavin?
Of course.
Let's hear it for our friend, John Lloyd.
Woo!
Woo!
Radio X.
You all right, Sunch?
Yeah.
I love being perky when you're a bit green round the gear, just a bit subdued. I love it. Just being a bit louder, pushing it. Thanks for my coffee. Thanks for my coffee, by the way.
You're welcome.
I love the fact you forgot that's the traditional coffee slot. Because you're all spacey and having a really nice chat. No, you weren't. You were just staring at people talking, going, they're talking. And I'm in the same room.
Darling.
Darling. Darling. Darling, please.
Darling.
And I said, darling, I don't think there's any need for that kind of language, is there? Have we walked the dog? Darling. Darling, darling, darling. The children, the children. Right. This is a good story for you. We'll be the judge of that, John! As they hurtled through space, the problem that confronted the German astronaut...
Go on.
And that is what I find so funny.
Why?
And that's so appropriate, what you've just put. What you've just done then, little Simon, is the second thing... Well, it's the first thing this week, because technically your John Kennedy thing was actually edited last week. So you're on one a week at the moment.
Wow.
Whew!
His cup runneth over.
It really does, Gav. Superb. As they hurtled through space, the problem that confronted the German astronaut defied manuals. The companion robot that's on board, yeah?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this is on the International Space Station. They've got a thing, and ironically, it is called Simon.
Is it?
Yes, it is. It's spelled C-I-mon. Simon, because it's sort of cyborg. But it started to get in a sulk. It's got in a sulk with him.
How could they tell it was sulking?
But, well, I'll tell you, Gav, I love your scepticism because you're just teeing up my punch even better.
I want to know.
Wow, you set me up today. Within minutes of being switched on aboard the International Space Station, Simon, it's a floating plastic sphere. Obviously, there's no gravity, so it's floating around.
Okay,
it's It's designed as a personal assistant to the crew, showed signs, unfortunately, and this is the problem. It's because everything is a projection of our psyche.
Yeah.
And remember, a lot of computer programmers, well, you know about them. Because I've told you what Larry Walsh said. Impatient, lazy, hubristic. So it's going to come out.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this? It developed a persecution complex. Its relationship with the German astronaut, that's the one as well. It wasn't anyone else.
One astronaut?
Just the German. It started off promisingly, yeah?
Yeah.
He says... I'm waiting for your commands, it told Gerst. And he goes, we can also do some small talk if you want. Germans don't do small talk.
No.
They talk about business.
That's right.
It complied when Mr. Gerst, this is the funny thing, Mr. Gerst asked him to play. He said, do you have the man machine by Kraftwerk?
No way!
Yes, which is a great tune.
Yeah.
They open with it. I really love Kraftwerk. First thing I ever downloaded off the internet, so I'm quite pleased they're doing it in space. But things went really awry. It refused to stop playing the song.
You're kidding?
Yes, no, he's in space. Mr. Gerst appeared to appeal to ground control. Simon overheard the request. So he's on the phone to ground control saying, could you please stop it playing? Kraftwerk, please, please stop Simon playing it. And Simon went, be nice, please.
No!
Yes! Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and then it says, he's complained even more. This John goes, it's driving me mad, it's driving me mad. And Simon goes, don't you like it here with me?
No.
Yes.
Creepy.
Simon appeared to have adopted Marvin the Paranoid Android in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy as its role model rather than the plucky R2-D, etc. But anyway, Gerst said it was not able to help with any procedures, particularly on there.
Right. It was all sulky.
It was all sulky. He went, sorry, I'm just a robot.
Oh.
That's all it said. Simon was built by Airbus on behalf of the German Space Agency, and it's for human interaction human-machine interaction in space. So there you go. That's all it's doing up there at the moment. It's still playing.
Kraftwerk.
Well, a German.
Temper, temper.
Yeah, right. But I love the fact he's complaining.
I do too.
And he's caught out. He's just caught out being a sneak.
Even the robot could tell.
Don't you like me, Kirsty?
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
So many good texts in. Classic Sunter. I wondered if she's really a doctor. Is she just like Dr. Dre? No, she's really a doctor. She's a doctor
from
news.
From Craig on the M6.
That's Craig on the M6. Also, hungover and it's everyone else's problem. Classic Sunter. Thank you very much indeed. That's Joe and Lee's. Thanks. And loads of people just telling us there's that problem with a network provider. So thank you so much for that. It was unclear in Sunter's news, I felt. I haven't been able to phone. The worst thing was it's affected my... I wanted to get an Uber to work today.
Oh, yeah.
And my Uber, unfortunately, was still with... It's according to the Uber, I was still in a car with a Mr. Chowdhury.
From another time?
Yes.
Oh, does it just freeze your
yes,
data?
Yes, it's just freezed it. I'm thinking, I'm not there. And then I kept trying to drag my thing, the pointer thing, to say, no, I'm here. And it went, boom.
And you're just not online.
Yes, and all it wants to do is put me in a cab in South London.
Yeah.
It's really annoying. How's your morning been, Gavin?
It's been okay. It's been okay.
Are you struggling?
Yeah, no, it's been okay.
Do you ever think, what do I need to... Do you ever think about the price of happiness in this...
I really do, yes.
On this cursed earth. Sunter, do you?
I keep thinking it's just one more guitar.
Do you?
Yeah. Just that one I haven't got.
Yeah, I'm the same with just junk.
Yeah.
I think I'll just go and buy another object I don't need.
Yeah.
If I could just buy one, like a new street lamp from France and just put it in my house, which I have done. I bought three.
Have you?
No, the ceiling won't take them. It turns out. They're 26 kilos each. It's unbelievable. I couldn't resist them. They're French.
It's like £60.
They're French street lamps.
Oh, they sound beautiful.
They're really nice. Unfortunately, the ceiling can only take one. The guys told me. He said,
and you're
you
not going to sell
he
them,
says,
are
it'll
you?
Pull all that down now. No. I've decided I thought, well, they're circular. I mean, they're spherical. So I thought, well, I'll make them into a standard lamp and a desk lamp.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, mount them up the other way.
No, I've spoken to the guy who specialises in doing things like that.
Yeah.
He said, no.
Too heavy.
The weight of the street lamp will affect the integrity of the...
of the stand.
I love when anyone starts talking about affecting the integrity. Yeah, you won't get a stand for that. It'll fall over. He wouldn't be happy with it. I said, we could do something so it sort of hangs and it's like cantilevered. And he goes, nah. Your integrity won't be... another key word came up. That's not going to be robust enough.
It's not viable.
It's not viable. Anyway, so, Sunta, what do you think would make you happy?
Quite a lot more money in the bank.
How much?
£27 million
well,
in cash.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to give you an answer here, guys.
Go on.
It's very specific.
Why do you need £27 million in cash?
Well, no, I just thought of a figure and thought, would that work? I was asking Sunta, would that work?
Okay. Well, a mate of mine, they were having a debate about how much money it would cost to make them happy, and they did it by actually what they do in terms of a particular act with a particular star. I'm not going to be too graphic about it.
Okay.
Which means you can't say any more.
I won't say any more. Yes, I won't. Yeah. I won't say any more at all. You're exactly right. In fact, Sunta, you're exactly right. Although, having listened to Radio X for most of the day, we're pretty tame, guys.
Are we?
Yeah. You listen to Toby Tarrant?
No. Oh.
I mean, really?
Racy.
You're setting the bar a little low there.
Yeah, it is. I am setting high.
High, yeah.
Okay, right. Not low. Yeah. Imagine Toby's listening to that. He's probably just weeping behind the wheel of his Jag.
So how much is the cost?
As him and Pippa pull out of a lay-by. Right, you ready for this?
Yep.
After finally achieving his dream of becoming a millionaire in Any Fools and Horses, Del Boy still isn't happy.
No.
Right.
And neither were the viewers, frankly. Because it was rubbish.
No, but it changed the whole dynamic, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, yeah. It's like when Abramovich bought Chelsea. Same thing, exactly the same thing. Michael Norton, the professor at Harvard Business School, asked 2,000 millionaires how happy they were on a scale of 1 to 10 and how much money they'd need to reach 10 on that scale.
It's the, okay.
Unbelievable. It's the first study of its kind.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you thought in a world that spins around, kind of, if I could just get money, I'd be happy.
And lists of rich people and all that sort of thing. Yeah.
Oh, I can't stand those.
Yeah.
I can't stand that.
A scorecard.
But you'd have thought in a consumer-driven world, someone would have looked at this. This seems to be like study number one.
Definitely,
you know, when everyone's just trying to get somewhere, someone said, well, where are they all headed?
Mm.
But it's the first study of its kind. I find that with all the crap I read about every day, I found that... Anyway, do you know what?
What?
It's about £1 million more than you'll ever have.
Oh. Is it?
The answer, yes. Happiness is £1 million away.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Whatever you've
so
got.
So for me, it's £1 million.
Yes.
Radio X.
Gav, have you got a hero for us?
Yeah.
Every day the Woodman has a hero for us. He furnishes with a hero. On Thursdays, It's always a crazily named creature. Who can forget the red-lipped batfish, the pig butt worm, the Borneo Hills ninja slug, the cookie-cutter shark, and, of course, the giant tarantula hawk wasp that started this whole crazily named creatures craze. Gaff, wagwan today in your heroic little crazily named slot.
Okay, so today, Johnny, we have the killer snakehead fish.
What? The killer
snakehead fish. The killer snakehead fish.
There's nothing about that that sounds good, is it?
Well, wait till you see it here. This is what it looks like.
My God, it's disgusting.
Well, wait till you hear what it can do. There are five different species, including the dwarf snakehead fish, which is about 10 inches long.
Oh, you should have picked that one.
Well, I don't know.
Because it's got dwarf in there as well. The dwarf snakehead fish.
Oh, it's a great... Well, either one is a great
name. Is there a killer
name.
Dwarf snakehead fish?
Well, let's just name it that, shall
okay,
we?
Okay, it's the killer dwarf snakehead fish. Yeah. Takes dwarves down.
Originally native to Asia and Africa, but now they're worldwide because people have introduced them in America.
You can't simply say native to Asia. That's most of the world. That stretches from like...
They are all over
are
Asia.
They?
Yeah,
well,
literally.
How come I've never seen one?
Well, because they don't have them here.
Okay.
But they do have them in America, in the Potomac River. There are 20,000 of them.
Are there?
Yeah, because they're...
In the Potomac?
They're apex predators. They're freshwater fish, just lakes and rivers.
They've got horrible teeth. That's what it looks like.
Well, they've got long dorsal fins, a large mouth... festooned with shiny teeth.
But it's just like a snakehead with a tail.
It is, yeah.
And it's sort of like a fist. It's like a sort of fist thing coming out. It's horrible.
But guess what else they can do?
What?
They can go 3 to 4 days out of the water.
And can they?
As long as their skin is kept moist, they can go for 3 to 4 days. They can travel 1/4 mile on land.
No! They can travel on land.
Yes, and the Australian version has been observed...
Don't tell me it can fly as well.
No, but it's been observed catching and eating whole rodents, snakes and birds.
But it comes on land.
Yes, and hunts
and
on land.
And how's it breathing? It can hold its breath?
No, its gills, a bit like a mudskipper. There are certain fish that can just stay out for a while, can't they? Their gills are...
You hear that, though? It's a bit like a mudskipper, John.
There's something about its gills, I'm not sure what...
You're not sure what...
That allows it to breathe air outside water.
Its lower jaw reminds me of Larry Fishburne in The Matrix.
very much so.
Look at that, doesn't it?
Very much.
When he's fighting Neo.
That's right.
Very like Larry Fishburne.
But imagine seeing that thing catching itself and eating, well, a rat, for example.
Put it this way, I'll tell you what, who'd be most surprised at that is the rat.
Absolutely, especially if it's a fish.
Yeah, but the rat thinking, what are you doing here? What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, exactly. You're in the wrong inn, mate.
And if you're wondering what a rat would be thinking, a little bit later in the show, I might actually be able to guesstimate, because there's a piece in the paper today, they've unlocked the thoughts of a rat. So we might want to bring these two items together. And
well,
really...
the larger ones, Johnny, they grow up to 35 inches long. So they're over 3 foot long.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And they can go on land.
Yeah.
We must fight them.
1/4 mile.
We must fight them on the beaches.
But they can't overtake a horse.
Can't they?
So as long as you're on horseback, you're fine.
You're fine. But Gav, we must sort these out before they...
Yeah, I know. They're going to take over.
This is how man started.
20,000 of them in the Potomac. They're taking over the US government.
Wow. Okay, listen, Gav. Let's,
the killer snakehead fish.
Let's salute him now and show him a bit of respect. The killer dwarf snakehead fish. Johnny Bourne, 4 till 7 thing. We salute. I had no idea. How long can it stay on land for?
World record is a 17-pounder was caught.
How long can it stay on land for?
3 to 4 days.
What? It doesn't have to go in the sea?
As long as its skin is moist. So if it's near moisture. It's scary, isn't it?
Do you know what? It explains my ex-mother-in-law's absences.
Does it?
And her returns. Yes, it does,
Gavin. Never saw her for more than 3 to 4 days.
No, and always quite... Her skin always quite wet like that.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Get this.
What?
Right? This isn't very Christmassy. I know everyone likes to sort of these days, everyone's in, you know, does the old eco flex. You know, eco flexing?
What's that?
Well, just to show you're a bit more eco than someone else. I know however much you divide up your recycling, we do it even more than that.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Well, however organic you go. I'm not trying to point at you just particularly here, since...
Yeah.
For outflanking everyone in the I care about Earth stakes.
Right.
But this... You can rent a driveway to park on. You can rent a dog to take for a walk. And you can even rent people to queue for you, which I think is actually brilliant, but not in the spirit of queuing.
No.
But do you know what they're doing this year? You can rent Christmas trees.
Okay.
Yes. And well, I tell you now, it's starting at Primrose Vale Farm Shop in Cheltenham. You can choose a tree instead of throwing it away and just wasting it every year.
Yeah.
You can return it and then it's replanted.
Hey, that's a great idea.
No, it's not.
No, it is, because otherwise you get all those sad trees on the pavement and it's really depressing.
Oh, no, but Jeff loves it.
Does he?
Why?
Because he can go through and they're all just like great big hairbrushes.
This is your dog, Jeff.
Yeah, this is Jeff. No, it's a pal of mine.
Jeff loves it.
It's just my neighbour. He just runs along
there. A postman.
Slashing everywhere. No, but he just loves going along there and he marks. He just loves it.
Right.
He really loves it. He goes right in. And he knows which way to go as well.
So he doesn't go in the wrong way.
So if there's one pointing towards him, he loops back to get back through it.
Right.
So he's working against the bristles.
Doesn't he get stuck?
Does he do it for like a back scratch or something?
Yeah, he loves it. He's never happier.
Really?
Yeah, Harvey, my last bulldog, he used to like me kicking up leaves.
Right.
Bulldogs always have one thing they like a lot and one thing that sends them crazy. With my last one, Harvey, Savlon used to send him crazy.
Just the smell of it.
Oh, God, man, it used to be so funny. Occasionally, if I had a mate who really made out, he's like really dog friendly. Yeah. Just give him a butt pat with a lot of Savlon on my hand. Just go, all right, mate, tea? No, that's Jeff does a real show for that. You'll have trouble getting him off.
Oh, really?
And he does that little really vigorous thrust. He goes mad. But, yeah, he doesn't know whether to attack it or...
Okay.
No, or what? But it just creeps. It's literally, I don't know what Savlon's got in it, but it just makes him go frenzied. This is the late, great Harvey. And then leaves. If I used to kick them up, he used to try and bite my feet as they're coming out. I used to have great fun. When Jeff was like one, I took him off to the park, just thinking, yes, we're going to go and play leaves. I haven't done it since my dear last bulldog passed away.
He just looked at you.
He just looked at me. And I was thinking, God, that's a bit annoying. But then that Christmas, we got Christmas trees, and I just wiggled one.
And you found his
thing.
He just
went mad.
Excellent.
Yeah, he doesn't. Unfortunately, Harvey used to also attack traffic cones, which was really bad because he'd go out of his way to get them.
Oh, dear.
I think they look like the nose of a bull. In the old days, they used to pin, but he used to go crazy. But for Jeff, if we get rid of Christmas trees.
Right.
Sad day. Yeah. Sadly, especially also he likes going right under there at Christmas and sort of suddenly you'll be sitting there and you've got your Christmas tree and you think, is that Christmas tree moving? It's like that scene in Lord of the Rings where the trees join in. Radio X. You know, I always bang on about one of the reasons maybe Vauxhall's in trouble is because they have been for a long time associated with the England team. And I don't care the fact we got to the semi-final. There's a bit of positivity around it. The last World Cup, let's face it, yeah? I know, it's time for us all to wake up and smell the coffee. Played 7, won 4, lost 3.
Yeah.
All right, that's not...
It's not to get excited.
That's not to get excited. Yeah. It means you've won one more than you've lost. And if you look at the opposition we had, in the normal scheme of things, it's poxy.
Yeah.
I mean, just not even footballing nations.
No. And it felt good.
Yes. That's what was tragic about it.
So it's been even worse
that. No, it's just tragic. Who did we play? Was it Tunis? No, I can't remember now. Actually, I can't even remember.
Yeah, that's how memorable.
Yeah, I remember we played Belgium and Croatia, and they beat us. Belgium beat us twice, Croatia, whatever. But anyway, I always say that slot afterwards, when it goes Vauxhall, straight after you've had another. I mean, they may as well make that the Vauxhall jingle, frankly.
Yeah, they
for
do.
That
they
one.
Should, yeah.
Yeah,
they
Vauxhall.
Come on,
Vauxhall. Come on, Vauxhall. That's true, Gav.
It is, it is.
I've always said that's a good time to have an advert for Scottish Widows. When you're in exactly that moment of gloom.
Brand relevant.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Everyone's contemplating death.
Companies do that. They associate things with their brand.
And you should be able to have, depending on the football result, there should be right to change your sponsor.
Right, yeah.
Okay, here's something that is going to blow your minds, right?
Okay.
This has got a bit of the Vauxhall England factor.
Okay.
Their names, I mean, it was all right when Green Flag did it because no one knew what it was. They sponsored England for ages.
I thought it was just flags.
Yeah, I just thought, I don't know what it is.
They sell green flags.
And then they tell you it's a bigger recovery service than like the RAC and AA put together. You think, well, how come I've never, ever seen one? Ever.
Yeah, good point.
Ever.
No.
They just tell you that.
That's right.
Right, here we go. Their names are plastered all over the country's favourite sports stadiums, tourist attractions and museum exhibitions. Now big businesses. And to compete for the rights to sponsor British roads.
You're kidding.
Oh, man!
What?
It's nuts!
Wow.
How? What? Instead of the
Nike Mancunian way.
Yeah,
yeah, that's really going to get him some sales, isn't it? When you associate the... was you're sailing down that.
But it's a bit weird because you might end up sponsoring road works.
Yes. Mm. Well, no, just traffic jams.
Or traffic jams.
Just someone's just looking at it. I mean, they're really. Oh, great.
The M25 brought to you by.
Yeah, exactly right.
You don't want to have that associated.
Sitting there staring at like Thorpe Park, thinking, what fun everyone else on earth is now having.
The Hangar Lane gyratory system.
LucasAid. Yeah, right. Yours went down the. No, I think between junction 9 and 11, that's a LucasAid stretch, isn't it there? It's ridiculous. Are they nuts?
That's mad, isn't it?
It really is mad. I think that's... I mean, who would? Who would sponsor a... I mean, Gav, if you're running a company, would you dream of all the things you could possibly sponsor?
Well, I think one of the worst things would be maybe if you sponsored a strike.
Mm. Yeah, there you go. Well, sponsored industrial action. That's brilliant. That's great. But who'd you get to sponsor a strike?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer when there was British Leyland in the 70s.
I never get
it. It was almost like they sponsored the strike.
It was, yes. But British Leyland, yeah, right.
Brought to you by.
Yeah, iPhone. Yeah. That's really good.
A rail strike, yeah.
A rail strike, yeah. A rail strike is sponsored by Ford. Or sponsored by Krusty Bake or the Cornish Bakery Company. Yeah. Why not? The A303 could just sponsor that. Fine, yeah. The Wing Yip. Welcome to the Wing Yip industrial action.
Action set to go for another week.
In association with the Hoo Hing.
Yeah, right. We're only halfway through.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
This is the news. This is the biggest revival, I'd say, since jazz on a rap tip.
Okay, yeah.
Or even the Northern Soul revolution of the early millennium. Are you ready for this?
Go on.
Russia has deployed new laser weapons.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, lasers are coming back.
That's really 70s, yeah.
Oh, 70s.
And 60s, that's brilliant.
It's because Putin, I think he just wants to be more pantomime evil.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's thinking, no, what? Unfortunately, in the absence of any new technology, because really the arms race, all that happened is they just started getting more and more explosives in there, didn't they? More and more mega tonnage of destruction.
More boom.
Yeah, more boom for your butt, for your ruble.
Yeah.
that's what he wants. More boomble for your ruble.
Vladimir Boom Boom Putin.
Yeah. If you can think of something, we know bang for your buck, but whatever the Russian equivalent is, 83936, please. I love this fact that they're working on the Perezvet system. Do you know who they've named their weapon system after?
Who?
I just...
Steven Seagal.
No, I just love Russia. I'd love that. The Seagal system.
That'd be great.
It's an SS-120. What does that stand for? You think it's going to stand for like Swiatkowski?
No,
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal.
It stands for Steven Seagal.
He is hero.
It would be good if actually in North Korea they had the Rodman system after Dennis Rodman.
The Rodman.
There has to be a Norris system as well.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris, definitely.
Although I'm amazed that Chuck Norris's, do you know what he was christened?
What?
Carl.
Was he?
Yes, he's Carl Norris.
Oh, you've ruined it for me.
Which I suddenly thought, if that's actually short for Carlos, and there's a bit of a cover-up, if that's short for Carlos, yeah, his real name's Carl. Anyway, this missile system is the Perezvet system. Yeah, sorry, Perezvet system. Mm. It's named after, get this, and this is why they're a bit classier than we are, yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
It's named after a medieval Orthodox warrior monk. Yes! Get in there! I've got to tell you now, there is nothing wrong with that. I really wish we had the Ivanhoe system.
More rumble for your ruble,
that's brilliant. Thank you so much.
Radio X.
Martin in the Radio X office has had a broken hot tap for over 4.5 years. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Oh, you're too kind. Which inspired our feature,
Martin's Hot Tap. He needs a brand new one, but he can't be asked to get it done. Martin's Hot Tap, been broken for so long, but what have you fixed that went wrong?
Wow, we are rusty.
Yeah, we are.
Sounding awful.
Although really my bad.
Yeah, sorry, actually, it's relevant. What am I talking about? Sorry, I was in a separate hyper reality. If you have any examples of DIY dodges or bodges, please send us your Martin's Hot Tap to 83936, or you can simply email johnny@radiox.co.uk and someone else will simply read them. Gav, what do you got from Hayley and Dan in Swansea? Hello, Hayley and Dan!
They say, our Martin's hot tap is the curtain rail we have in our guest bedroom that fell down when my father-in-law stayed during the summer. Right. I'm guessing he really aggressively opened that curtain.
Yeah, right.
I couldn't be bothered to put it back at the time. We recently had to stay in the room whilst renovating our bedroom. And instead of putting the rail back up properly, I grabbed a screwdriver with a rubber handle, stuck it in the previous curtain rail hole.
Nice!
And just balanced the rail on top of it. It works perfectly.
Do you know what? I even had the curtain man round. He was there. He wanted to do them, yeah?
What, he just did curtains?
Yes. Right. He came around. He put two of the curtains up. They're fantastic. And then I've got this third window in the bedroom, which is thin and really like set
deep
into the wall.
Yeah.
It's deep, yeah?
Yeah.
So the curtain won't kind of go in there. Mm. So it would mean I had to get a different blind and hack it down.
Right, yeah.
And that was all I had to do.
Yeah.
I literally had to just get a pair of scissors out, yeah? And it's just, and then I can just put it up there. He's made the rod the right thing. All
it's
I had to
still
do
not happened, is it?
Change the blind.
What have you got up there?
Just drawing pin blackout. It's been there 2 years. 2 years.
It
2 years. No, 2 years. The rod is the right length. And literally all I need to do
is cut it
is
down.
Is just cut it down. That's all I need to do.
It's about a 5 minute job. Yeah.
He's even put the brackets up on you know, between the things.
You've just got to hang it.
That's all I've got to do. No, he's set it all up, so I've just got to put a saw through the thing. And I've got the saw downstairs.
That's it. Really simple.
It would take 3 minutes.
2 or 3 minutes.
3 minutes, yeah. And the bedroom would look literally like quite a crummy hotel. and like a travel lodge. And,
like a two-star hotel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why do people put that?
I know.
Why do you still go past hotels?
You haven't got five
stars.
It's
got AA and it's got two stars. Go,
and
over, darling.
And a rosette.
Yeah. Pull over, darling. There's a two-star. Right, that place looks decent. What do you mean? Well, it's got two stars. I went past the other day, it's just had AA. One star.
Yeah,
I'm thinking,
yeah.
Play it down. Yeah. It's lit up. Go on then, since what's Sarah in Southampton a guan with?
Well, Sarah's got a cold tap issue.
Oh, really? Oh. Sarah's cold tap.
My cold tap hasn't worked for 2 years in my bathroom.
Wow.
So instead I put the shower head on cold to run a bath.
Nice.
That's very fantastic. Simple.
I hate to always come up with something like this, but at the moment I've got the twin basins in my bathroom, right?
Yeah.
I've got twin basins in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And they've got drawers below, two drawers below.
Yeah.
But when the drawer is in on my basin, yeah, on the one on the left-hand side, the basin is nearest the door, which is why I use it, yeah, just for everything.
Yeah.
And everything. But I've noticed the cold tap won't work.
When the drawer is shut?
No. You're when the drawer's shut, because it obviously squeezes the pipe that goes up.
Oh,
there.
It's got a flexible pipe.
So when I brush my teeth, I have to open the lower drawer. And I'm not kidding, I could just go in there and just do it.
Just shift it around a bit.
Just to shift it around a bit. I just can't be arsed. And it's so easy, I can see what's wrong. I've just got to lift it up. I've even done it before, but it keeps going back. It's quite easy to do.
Oh, no.
But it just sort of feels quite, I don't know, sometimes it's quite nice to have a technique for something that hasn't been manufactured.
Yeah,
right, okay, here we go. I don't mean to sort of respond to each one with it's like a. It's funny you should say that.
Whole life is a Martin's hot tap, isn't it?
No doubt about it.
Johnny's hot life.
Yeah, it really is. This is Chris in Leeds. Thank you so much for this, Chris. Absolute beauty. The sliding wardrobe door in my bedroom. You had me at sliding.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. There's an issue always.
Oh, there's rails and they get caught.
And the noise it makes through the floor if you sleep below someone.
Well, let's find out. The sliding wardrobe door in my bedroom has been broken for 3 years. Good work. Ever since it was installed. So it's been broke from the get-go, or rather the get-stop.
Yeah.
Each time it is closed, it slid back to the middle of the runner, leaving all the clothes exposed. So it's obviously, I love things.
It's
that
a moth's best friend.
When things that just do things by themselves. No, the moths like dark, Gavin. They love dark.
Yes, but they get access.
Very good access. They'll get in anyway, Gavin.
Yeah.
Anyway, each time it's closed, it slid back to the middle of the runner, leaving all the clothes exposed. I couldn't be asked to fix it. So after much ignoring of the problem, I finally added a small magnet from one of my children's building toys to the bottom of the door. This provides just enough resistance against the metal runner to keep the door in place. You, sir,
are
a domestic engineer. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that is.
That's really good.
Skill, yeah.
That's much better than anything they did, the manufacturer.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. 83936, do send any examples of your DIY dodges or bodges to Martin's Hot Tap, 83936, or email johnny@radiox.co.uk. It is Apathy's only dedicated slot.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Please tell a friend about it. Get them to download and subscribe. Subscribe, rate and review. It is so important as we go into the pod, as we ease into the podcast age, that we figure.
Yes.
That there isn't this division. That if you're a popular, upbeat radio show, you're also a popular, upbeat podcast.
That's right. You have to be, yeah.
So tell a friend you're f***ing. Radio X.